Well, greetings and salutations to you all.
What's up?
Hey.
What the?
How's it going tonight, guys?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty good, but something's different.
Is it?
You don't hear that?
Wait, and Nick, say something again.
Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug.
That's
right. What the?
That's not Nick.
That's not Nick.
That's not Nick Klein at all.
No.
That sounds like Keith Grasso on the line.
Hey.
What the?
What's going on, brother?
I just popped up because we were talking about Aerosmith. So when you dialed in, I just picked up the phone and I was just ready to talk to anybody about
just
Aerosmith.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about tonight? I guess it is.
I think so. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a special show. We got a special guest host tonight, Keith Grasso. He's filling in for Nick Klein. He's off gallivanting, off in the off of the Mediterranean, in some beautiful Croatian island somewhere.
Oh wow!
Yeah, good for him.
He must be having a good time. But wait, hold on. We got a phone call coming in, guys.
Oh,
this might be Nick here.
Let me hold on. Oh. And pick up. Answer.
I've never had to answer it before.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
What's up? Hello. What's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah. No, we got you. We got you. What's up?
Speak.
I see a text coming through. Oh. Oh, Keith's gonna be filling in for me tonight. Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
All right, that's perfect because I'm in the town of Komija, on the island of Vis.
Never heard of it.
Which is about a 2.5 hour ferry ride away from Split, Croatia. And this place is freaking incredible, I gotta be honest. We spent 2 days in Split. Yeah. I got a little bit of an audio clip I wanna share with you. We were in Diocletian's Palace, which you gotta look this thing up. It was built in the 3rd century by the Romans. It was like a kind of like a summer home. It is now the old city. It's called the old city in Split. And we were walking around and they have church bells that go off at noon and then first thing in the morning and then in the evening. And the bells
really
went off and then this quintet of elderly gentlemen who all had nice shirts on and they had like cummerbunds, these red cummerbunds. They stood up. And we're in a mausoleum. It has no roof on it. Imagine this big cylinder, stone cylinder. The sound acoustics in there are amazing. And these guys start singing. And that's what I'm gonna play first here.
Okay.
Oh, he's gonna play a clip.
Yeah. Didn't ask or anything, but that's fine.
So that brought some tears to the eyes. That was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And so we came over to we came over on the ferry to Vis and met up with Kreshmir.
You might be
he was doing great. And as you'll notice, not here right now, but that's because he took the kids to the movies tonight. And they had a fisherman's festival. The whole town came out last night. It started around 10 o'clock p.m. Is when they started serving. Basically, they get free fish out, and there's bands playing.
Gotta have the fish.
And this quintet, another quintet of gentlemen, one acoustic guitar, and some sort of lute. Kreshmir told me what it might have been, but I cannot remember what it was called. mostly just vocals. At first, I kind of was looking around as they were playing, and I thought, like, oh, man, these kids aren't digging it. But then we had this, and all of a sudden the storm came through, and the band had to pause, and we're walking to get undercover, or under the cover from the rain, and all these kids, like teenagers, and like 20-something, they're all singing these songs, and it was freaking amazing. Like, this is just the fact that it's passed down. This whole thing is to celebrate the fishermen, because that's what essentially this island was built around. So this has been an absolutely incredible experience. I'm sorry that I'm missing the show tonight. I'm so thankful, Keith, that you're there to fill in. But I'd like to play one more clip. I don't have a band name. Apologize for that. I'll figure all that out before I write this up. So love you guys, I will see you next week.
Before you go, I just wanted to ask you.
I love it.
He's having a good time, but he doesn't have to be rude. Yeah.
Sounded like he had somewhere to go. That's
all right.
He just hung up.
Oh, really?
He's having too good of a time.
Yeah. I guess so. He's got places to be and tropical islands, not tropical, but Mediterranean islands to bask upon.
As Notorious B.I.G. would say, give me the loot. Give me the loot.
That's right. Give me the loot. I get jokes.
All right.
Well, Nick, we miss you, buddy. I hope you're having a great time out there. And Kreshmir, friend of the show, Kreshmir.
Oh, yeah.
Hope you're having a great time out there, too.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, boys, we have to soldier on without Nick. I think we're going to be doing okay. Anybody? Keith, you just got back from England. Is that right?
I did. I spent 10 days in the UK.
How was it, man? Was it awesome?
It was absolutely amazing. It was we tried to travel as much of the country as we could every day. We stayed in a different hotel. We had a driver take us to kind of all of the most historic sites that are not tourist traps.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It was amazing. Like, we saw Winston Churchill's burial place. We saw the Roman baths. We had tea in this place called the Pump House, which was discovered 200 years later after the Roman baths were uncovered. It was really we saw Stonehenge. We saw Windsor Castle. I mean, we saw everything. It was really an awesome time. I met up halfway through the trip. I have this friend in the UK who is basically the UK version of me.
Dude, I saw that video.
Oh my God.
Did you see this, Craig?
No.
Okay. Keith, please do explain.
So, we are both, like, I am the United States Van Halen fan, poster child, and he would be the UK version. And we are basically exactly the same. We like all the same stuff. We became friends via the internet maybe 8 years ago or something. And, you know, we're always FaceTiming and texting back and forth about Van Halen and guitars and stuff. And so we
Did you meet on that social media Van Halen app where Van Halen fans get together?
We met via Facebook. And I think maybe 2016, 2017, I wanted him to do a Island Music advertisement for a new EVH guitar that was coming out. So I sent him one as, like, in a payment for doing a video on it. And then we became friends and we just stayed friends. So we met at a wedding last year, some mutual friends' wedding. And Nikki and his wife hit it off, and you know, we're like the same person. So we planned this trip to the UK, and halfway through they met us in London, and then we went and spent some time with them, and we made this cover video of Van Halen's version of the Sammy Hagar classic One Way to Rock. And if you've ever seen the Live Without a Net concert video, which is the Eddie Van Halen time period that got me into guitar and got me into Van Halen,
they did
this cool thing where they like trade off leads.
Yeah.
You know, like Eddie plays a couple bars and Sammy plays a couple bars, like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So we mimicked this video and recorded it and shot a video for it, and it turned
out
awesome,
dude. It sounds so good.
You saw it.
Yeah. And we got like an amazing amount of views. It's got like 25,000 views or something, and very few negative comments. Like, you suck.
There it is.
You know, like
I finally found it.
Oh, okay, it's nice.
Never read the comments.
Yeah.
But the whole video is so well. I love he's even got the same Eddie Van Halen posters in the background as you do.
It's exactly the same.
But it was so well done, man. It was great.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it was like we were pumped about this. We spent a lot of time, like, you know, planning it, working out the licks and stuff. And it was really cool because I went there and he basically has all the same guitars as me too. So it felt like, you know, like that Music Man that I'm playing, and that's actually his Music Man. But I have that, and that's John, that's one of my main guitars that I play every day.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's quite a bit of fun.
That's awesome, man. That's great.
Beautiful.
You have a very understanding wife too, by the way.
Yeah, for real. She drove us all over back and forth to his house on the wrong side of the road. And if you've ever driven on the roads, like the backcountry roads in the United Kingdom, they are they're really meant to be one lane,
yeah.
Right, roads, right? And people, you can park anywhere you want. So if you just want to pull off on the side of the road, either way, this way, going this way, you can. And people go fast, right? So we're like flying down these roads, and I'm like, Nikki, you know, pull out. And I mean, it was really intense. Like, we were all like shell shocked from the drive.
That's great, man. I'm so glad you guys had a great time over there.
Yeah,
it looked like a lot of fun.
It was an amazing time. Yeah, super nice. Amazing time.
Well, what about you, Mr. Lohman? What's up in Greg's world?
Oh, man. Well, I actually spent last week I called in from Ocean City, New Jersey.
That's right.
Made it back to LA just in time for a gig out in Santa Barbara. It was a private event, and they wanted Spanish classical trio.
Okay.
For a wedding, and so nice. I showed up, and it was a beautiful location, but they were running a little bit late, and I didn't really know what was going on. No, I just found myself, I was like on this bluff, like a cliff, like out, like beyond Santa Barbara on the Pacific with all these chairs and flowers and like three chairs. And I was like literally the only soul. I had to walk down to it. You couldn't park your car anywhere near it. So I came down to this spot, dropped off my guitar, drove back up, and then walked back down. And they said like ceremony starts at 3 p.m. It was like 3:15. I was just sitting there all alone, the only soul.
Just
waiting.
Hello.
And then eventually the other musicians came like scrambling. One of them had gotten a flat tire or whatever, but they came, they set up the PA, and then like all the wedding guests came, and then we just played like, it sounded like Friday Night in San Francisco. You know that album, the Paco de Lucia,
John McLaughlin.
Have you ever heard that, Keith?
I have, yes.
Amazing. Paco de Lucia is like one of the greats, man.
For sure.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was fun. And it was especially great is that I didn't have to play the reception or anything, so I just went home.
Oh, hell
at like
yeah.
5 o'clock.
Oh, that's the way to do it.
You know, it's a 2-hour drive to Santa Barbara from L.A.
Oh, so what was it, just the cocktail hour?
Not even. It was just the ceremony.
Okay.
Like we played like as guests came in, we stopped playing, and then we played like Here Comes the Sun after they kissed, and that was it. See ya.
Sweet.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Because one of the other guitar players was in the reception band and cocktail hour and all that. And I was like,
okay,
bye, guys.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I had just gotten home and I'm getting texts for that are meant for the entire band that's like still there. Like, all right, guys, we got to get on the stage now. I'm like,
hey, like, I'm asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. Please remove me from this chain.
Yeah. I'm firing up a frozen pizza right now, boys.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, anyway,
nice.
That was last night. And today I've been able to chill. I'm prepping for a rehearsal tomorrow with the Bex Bolero. With the Jeff
Is that
Beck
what you're
tribute.
Calling it?
That's what I'm calling it. Yeah, okay. Bex Bolero. And yeah, it's been a crazy week. The Resilient put out an album. So
I saw
yeah, man,
yeah,
I saw
congratulations.
That.
Yeah,
I saw thanks. That.
So that's good. We're all pretty happy with it. Gabe Newell, friend of the show, played on two tracks. He did some amazing work, I thought. And
that's awesome.
So that's out there. It's called One More. You can stream it everywhere. You can buy it on Bandcamp, theresilientband.com. And so yeah, it's been a busy but somehow chill kind of week, I guess. I don't know. And it starts back up by the time this comes out on Thursday. I'm playing at Daryl's house in Pauling, New York.
That's nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Followed by a place called Wally's in New Hampshire, which is really fun. And Hampton, New Hampshire, I believe. And then two shows on Block Island in Rhode Island. Have you guys ever heard of this place?
No.
Apparently it's pretty awesome.
Okay.
So, Ballard's Beach Resort. We're
okay.
playing two shows out there. We got to take a ferry to get there, so. Anyway.
Is that the same one that got delayed last year?
That was
no,
rough that
one seas was, or something like that?
That one was meant to be on Nantucket.
Okay.
Which is
I think of ferries and
no, you're right. That
Mike was right there.
Yeah. We did make up that for that gig by playing in it was also in New Hampshire, sure, I believe. But it was for a brewery called Cisco Breweries.
Okay.
And anyway, we ended up making up for that show that kept getting canceled because of the rough sea winds back in
Cisco. Right on.
Anyway, that's the long and short of it. And we have some news to cover. We gotta talk about.
We do. We do. We're 20 minutes in here and we haven't even started the show. So what do you say we fix that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
You should check it out.
Yes, that's right. You are tuned into You Should Check It Out. Catching Fairies. I don't know.
Yeah.
Since 2018. You try coming up with those once every week. Happy to have you here with us for this very special edition of the You Should Check It Out podcast. This is episode 261 coming at you on a beautiful Thursday. Happy to have you here with us. My name is Jay.
Oh, I'm Keith.
And I'm Greg.
We're going to have an awesome show. We do have our special guest host, Mr. Keith Grasso, here with us today because we kind of wanted to talk about Aerosmith. This is some devastating news that came out this past weekend, and we thought, who better to talk? First of all, we get a good chance to do this because Nick Klein wouldn't really put up with any Aerosmith talk. Not that he's anti-Aerosmith, but he'd be like, well, shouldn't we be covering some indie band or something like that?
Yeah.
You know,
I love your impersonation voice. That's similar to a voice that I would use for him.
Exactly. You got it.
Sounds just like
I learned it from watching you. I learned it from watching you. So we got Keith here. We're going to talk about the Aerosmith situation, and that's pretty much it. We're going to play some tracks and have some fun and talk about the band and
yeah,
all that stuff. So,
right.
Keith, what's your understanding of what happened, man?
From the outside looking in, I think last year Aerosmith announced that last summer was going to be the end of touring life for them. I think for them, Steven Tyler is 78 years old, and I think he's the oldest member of the band. And I think they had decided, let's go out with the bang and let's do one last real tour. Not a, you know, a lot of bands, in particular from that era or shortly after, kind of do these go away, come back, go away, come back.
Sure.
You know, kind of things. And in each tour, they become more and more a parody of themselves. as time goes on. So I think that the Aerosmith idea was let's go out the right way. Let's do one last tour, you know, while we can still play. We won't use tracks. We'll be a real live band. And I think a couple shows into it that Steven had some vocal problems and kind of couldn't get it together. And they ended up canceling that tour, postponing for this summer. And I think the tour was supposed to launch off maybe in Florida last week or maybe even this upcoming week. And I think that at the 11th hour that they just decided that it couldn't be done, that Steven wasn't, I guess, to his performance quality or maybe what his performance standards were. And I think they just made the difficult decision to just, you know, sometimes you have to know when to just pull the plug and you know, let go.
They put out a really cool statement, I think on X and on Instagram, but the way that they said it, I really liked. There's this quote in here. This is from the official post here. "We've always wanted to blow your mind when performing. As you know, Steven's voice is an instrument like no other. He has spent months tirelessly working on getting his voice to where it was before his injury. We've seen him struggling despite having the best medical team by his side. Sadly, it is clear that a full recovery from his vocal injury is not possible. We have made a heartbreaking and difficult but necessary decision as a band of brothers to retire from the touring stage." So it's kind of, you know, they're admitting that they can't do it anymore to the level that they want to do it. And they're going to, instead of like limping along or like saying, "Well, yeah, we're going to have an AI Steven come out for like,
right,
you know, the really tough songs or something like that.
We're going to tune like, five steps down, like, what's going on with the Sammy Hagar Van Halen tribute and you
right.
know.
They're just saying we're going to retire as a touring band anyway. And I think that's a really kind of noble thing to do.
And they've been insisting that they're not breaking up. Right? So whatever that means.
Well, cool. I think the way that it's worded and the way that you know, the media that I've read has been retiring from touring life. So, I mean, that could mean we could still see some new music or new content, you know, at some point, which in today's world wouldn't be hard to do because people aren't really expected to release full albums anymore.
Sure.
You know, so it's possible you could see, you know, a couple singles here and there, soundtrack stuff, whatever, which is cool. I'm happy that they're, you know, saying we're gonna in some way, you know, push forward.
Right.
So we'll see.
But these guys are old. You know, I mean, listen.
The Stones can still do it.
Yeah, but Mick Jagger doesn't sing like Steven Tyler does.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not a screamer.
Yeah.
Nope. And it's amazing that Steven Tyler's voice held out as long as it did.
For real. Yeah.
You know, I mean, considering when he started, I mean, it's like he's kind of has an unreal voice to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know.
And I mean, decades and decades. And on top of that, I mean, his lifestyle is pretty well documented.
Yes.
It's not like, you know, for probably a good 30 plus years he wasn't coming off stage drinking green tea, you know.
I mean, maybe green tea laced with heroin. Your point's taken. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're pretty legendary in that department, I suppose. Look, do we have any music? Do we have
tracks.
Any clips? I mean,
oh, we got a ton.
Who's got something? I mean, I could tell some stories about Aerosmith, but I don't want to necessarily start.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Keith, okay. This was all your. This is all your idea. So what you got? Give us some music and talk about Aerosmith.
You want to hit me with let's go back to 1989,
ooh,
off a Pump.
Okay.
Ooh.
Give me something.
How about Fine?
Up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Let's do it. I got a brand new record and I gotta play. She says not now. Great track. Track, isn't it?
That's good.
I mean, that track.
That's on Pump, right?
That's on Pump, yep. Yeah. Which is that album, from start to finish, every song on it is so great. But but that song is so high intensity and just oozes sexual innuendos.
It's
and
pretty much archetypical
yes.
Aerosmith, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The hoochie coochie mama stuff, yeah, yeah. And like, you know, yeah. Just all the riffs are exactly Aerosmith. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and Joe Perry's jangly guitar. You know, like if you listen to Joe and Brad play off of each other, if you took one guy out and just isolated his parts, they would be like gibberish on their own. But like together, it's just so cool, and it has that like swagger, like almost behind the beat kind of,
oh, yeah,
you know,
hell yeah.
Smoky barroom rock band, yeah, kind of thing.
They have
great.
A good pocket, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They
oh,
really
yeah.
do. And just, you know, all the little play, like, you know, he's going through all the different things, and your daddy thinks, you know, have a, and then at some point, like the second verse, and Joe Perry thinks, you know, he's always calling out to Joe in the songs and stuff. It's just that nice. Cool nice. Band of brothers swagger kind of thing.
And they're breaking, the fourth, what is it? The fourth plane,
the fourth wall,
the fourth wall. Thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're breaking the fourth wall there, you know. The Chili Peppers do that on a song where he mentions John Frusciante.
That's nice. Okay.
You know, and it's called Purple Stain. But you can see that might be like a little bit of a, I don't know, maybe that's a sort of subliminal influence there. They're a very influential band.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Sure.
And considered one of the great, I love how they're always considered one of the great American rock bands.
Yeah.
It's almost like they feel a little insecure about the British bands. Like, well, we're the best like American band.
Well, I think that you know, Steven Tyler and Joe Perry probably grew up idolizing Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, right? Like,
yeah, clearly.
I remember seeing them in the early 90s induct Page and Plant into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Do you guys remember that?
Mm-hmm. Like when MTV
would make
that,
a big deal about that. Yeah, it's really cool. And they jam Train Kept Rolling together.
Yeah, that's right.
And what's Living, Loving, She's Just a Woman. Yeah.
Living, Loving, Made.
Yeah. And they jam that together. And you can tell that Steven and Joe are just awestruck by Page and Plant, you know.
Sure,
and that was the blueprint for rock and roll success probably for them. Yeah. So and you're like, okay, we're the American version of Led Zeppelin. They used to call themselves
the
Blue Jean Army.
And the Stones.
Yeah, yeah. There's always this little kind of similarity or nod to Mick Jagger and Keith Richards with that Joe Perry, Steven Tyler kind of brother, you know,
Toxic
leaders
twins.
Of the band, Toxic Twins, yeah. I mean, they do that nod so well that you don't think that they're copying them per se.
Yeah, exactly. Musically, they definitely emulate the Stones, I would say, more than Zeppelin, because they don't have as many like proggy bits, a little less mysticism. A little more straight up, like, you know.
More blues-based, like, think of Hangman Jury, could almost be, like, a more modern Stones kind of song.
Well, I got an example of one that kind of sounds like a Rolling Stones song. This is off their first album. This is off their first album. Was that 75, 76?
It's like 76,
76, that sounds right. Yeah, this is the start of side B, side two. This is Mama Ken.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Awesome. Yep. Like, this is such a cool trick that the first verse, there's no vocal. It's just straight guitar solo for the first verse. And then Mama Ken, check it out. Now, like, that's totally like a Stones song.
Yeah.
You know, format.
Yeah.
It's, the swing is different because it's not Charlie behind the kit and different bass player, obviously, but, you know, it's the same. It comes from the same area, I think.
Yeah, and that grunge, not grungy, but just kind of like free vibe to it. Like, those guitar parts are not perfect. There's, you know, if you isolate those leads, there's kind of some fumbles in there on purpose. There's that tone is just in your face, amps turned up kind of thing. It's not polished at all.
the bass tone struck me.
It's a little weird, right?
Yeah.
A little strange.
Yeah.
It sounded a little weird.
I feel like in the mix.
I feel like, damn, man. God. But maybe like, they might. I feel like they might have almost gone into the board or something with that. Anyway.
Oh, maybe.
That's cool, though.
Yeah. It's, yeah, God, that's American rock and roll in the 70s, right?
Tom Hamilton? Is that his name?
Tom Hamilton, yeah.
That's the bass player, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You know, can I share with you guys the first time I ever heard of or saw Aerosmith?
Sure.
You know this for sure? Wow.
I'm pretty sure I know this for sure.
All right.
I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure.
So this was actually, I wanted to stay up one night because Wayne's World might be on Saturday Night Live.
That's right. It was that golden era, man. 91, 92.
And somehow I convinced my parents. I was like, you know, normally it's like, yeah, you got to be in bed by, you know, like.
Absolutely.
Like midnight, come on, what are you, crazy? You know, I was like in, I don't know, third or fourth grade. Yeah. But I really wanted to see Wayne's World. And they let me stay up, and my dad stayed up with me. And Aerosmith was the guest. And they appeared on Wayne's World. And it was just so good. You can find the skit on YouTube. I'm going to play a clip of it. But Aerosmith shows up because I think it was Garth's cousin.
That's right.
Played by Tom Hanks.
That's right. Is their roadie.
Oh,
and, yeah. And he can,
and so he's able to convince Aerosmith to come to guest on Wayne's World. Which, by the way, I was thinking about it. Wayne's World is kind of the prototype for this podcast.
in many ways.
So, can we wait? Yeah, exactly. Jay, we can go back in time.
Oh, yes. Just that.
There you go. Yeah, that's it. You nailed it. And let's listen to a clip of Aerosmith appearing as the guest on Wayne's World.
Hell yes.
Okay, we're just about out of time, right? But it's always been my fantasy to play with you guys. And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind singing the Wayne's World theme with me.
All right.
Yeah? Yeah. Let's go do it. All right. Okay, let's do it. All right.
Check one. Sibilance.
That's for Tom Hanks.
Check two. Sibilance.
Dana Carvey.
And what I use to check mics all the time.
All right, here we go. One, two, three. Wayne's World! Wayne's World! It's not a job. It's excellent. Wayne's World! Wayne's World! It's part of time. It's excellent. Shit's no middle when we go down the street. It's Wayne and God.
Joe Perry's playing through like a little 12-inch Marshall's like combo. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
And then the movie came out shortly after that. The Wayne's World movie came out. And sure enough, Aerosmith shows up at the end of the movie. Like, you know, the final scene is like Aerosmith showing up and saving the rock festival.
Yeah, the concert. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's Wayne's World 2, to be clear. That's Wayne's World 2.
Wayne's World 2. Yeah. Excuse me. Thank you.
93. Because remember they played off of Get a Grip, Shut Up and Dance.
Yes.
And Dude Looks Like a Lady. I just learned Shut Up and Dance. So I've been so bothered by this news that today I learned Living on the Edge, which I've been meaning to do that since 1993, and I learned Shut Up and Dance last week. So,
I was going to say, one of the things that Aerosmith was really good at, they were really good at being the soundtrack to montages in 90s comedies. Like, usually around the second act break.
Well done. Like, well done. Yep.
Watch it. Dude looks, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire. Dude, yeah, looks like right. Dude looks like a lady. Amazing montage.
Yep.
Ace Ventura, Line Up from Get a Grip. Not a well-known song.
Yeah, that's a good one, though.
It's
yeah.
when it's at the point in the movie, in the first Ace Ventura, when he's trying to figure out if Ray Finkel is still on the Dolphins. He's checking everybody's Super Bowl ring for the missing piece.
That's awesome.
And it's just like this Aerosmith song. But also, Dazed and Confused came out in the 90s. Sweet Emotion is...
Yes.
They're just everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. In that time period, because of the album we've been hinting at and like, Get a Grip. I mean, such a huge album. It's hard to understate how big that album was for them. And for us, I mean, that was really kind
of... massive.
I knew... You hear Aerosmith on the radio, but this is like... This is Aerosmith on MTV.
That's what got me into Aerosmith. Was that, I think it was the spring, early spring, whatever that was, 93. And I remember seeing the Eat the Rich video. And
kind
of, whoa, what is this? Like, this is cool. Like, these guys look cool. And, like, that's a cool vibe. And, like, that beginning riff is almost a call back to Walk This Way, you know? And
Mario.
You're like, I'm familiar with that. Like, I've heard those, my ears have heard that before. And, God, that, you hit Eat the Rich, and then right into, I think, the next single.
Shut Up and Dance, right?
No, next single was, Living on the Edge.
Living on the Edge, right?
Oh, Living on the Edge, that's right.
Yep, Living on the Edge, and then it went, to the, after that, the trilogy, the Alicia Silverstone trilogy.
Which, by the way, that's Aerosmith's sixth member, by the way.
For real. I mean, she did so much for them in the 90s. Like, if they did not have her, I'm not sure that album would have been where it got to.
Forget, the production, the songwriting, like, all of that. Like, Alicia Silverstone.
If there was a video version of this podcast, you just cut to, like, retro clips of the three of us staring at a TV in our living room. Like,
it's true. It was the real deal, man. You know, she had everybody under a spell.
Well, and Liv Tyler, that was too. Like, Liv Tyler's been watching those videos.
Yeah, but that came a little later.
That was...
Same trilogy?
Yeah. Right? So it started with Crying.
Oh, forgive me. You're right.
Crying was Alicia Silverstone. Alicia. And then Crazy came Midsummer. And that was Liv Tyler.
Oh, right.
And,
my bad.
And Alicia Silverstone.
She became like a movie star later.
Stripping scenes and all that. Remember? And they were at the skinny dipping and they left the guy running and stuff.
Stop it. You're giving me a chubby.
And that was like all of middle school's sexual awakening. It was Alicia Silverstone and Liv Tyler. And but then you know Amazing.
Yep. There you go. Good stuff. Good. Yeah. Very good stuff. But it worked, though. It wasn't trashy. You know what I mean?
No.
Like the music was good. They had groundbreaking special effects.
Oh,
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, the bungee jumping and what was it?
It was like virtual reality.
Virtual reality, like landing the plane and driving the motorcycle and all that.
They were pushing.
You know what else is really cool? When you think about this, so when that album came out, those guys were in their 40s, right?
That's what blows my mind, dude.
And we were kind of like, oh, wow, they're really old then. Well, we're in our 40s now.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, they did like a 2-year grueling tour behind Get a Grip. They were everywhere, every video, you know, series. And to kind of also add in to get a real glimpse of the time period, rock, like, just straight ahead rock and roll was not really cool and not popular. And they were able to come in during a time with Nirvana and Pearl Jam and, you know, Nine Inch Nails, Hole, and Succeed, where a lot of other bands, you know, kind of that genre or that ilk failed.
It was definitely interesting that they were able to kind of sidestep. It was almost like their age was an advantage.
Yeah.
Because they were from the time where that was cool, so they were being true to what used to be cool, but still giving, but the production was modern.
Yeah.
Right, whereas, so it wasn't like a new band trying to cop that style. Yeah. Which would,
Although and they changed their look enough to, like, you know, kind of not look, because if you came out as 80s Aerosmith, like Permanent Vacation Aerosmith, or even Pump Aerosmith, you would have looked ridiculous against a Kurt Cobain, or
because the glam was over, and they, so they managed to kind of subtract that, and find something, you know. And again, if you had hip videos on MTV, you were good, you know, like that. I would say that that was a major factor, and because they'd had the earlier success, it seemed like they were able to.
And the other amazing thing about this is that those three albums that we've been talking about, Permanent Vacation, Pump, and Get a Grip, they're all on the other side of, like, the band almost completely disintegrating, right?
Sure,
because of drugs and stuff. Like, they had two albums that came out that didn't even have the original lineup in them.
Yeah.
Because Joe Perry and Brad Whitford, I think, had left the band. And then they
Jimmy Crespo and Rick Dufay or something like that were the guitar players. And actually, those albums are pretty good. Done with Mirrors and Nights and Ruts, I think. Or
I had no idea those did not have Joe Perry. Not that I've listened to them very much, but didn't realize that. Well,
but to come out on the other side of that, reform in 86, and then by 87, you're releasing... What, Permanent Vacation was the first of those three, right?
Which was huge. I mean, that was a big
album,
too.
And that was huge. Janie's Got a Gun and all that.
That was Pump. That was Pump. Permanent Vacation was Angel, Ragdoll. What else was on there? Hangman Jury.
I mean, just look at their greatest
Dude Looks
hits.
Like a Lady.
Look like compilations. Like, all these songs are just absolute banger hits.
Yeah. I've got another clip if you guys want to hear one of the great hits.
Oh, yeah. I ever?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So, and this is kind of a testament to, you're going to hear Steven Tyler's voice. This is kind of a more recent clip.
Okay.
Maybe 10 years ago. It's not that recent, but 10 years ago already. This is Steven Tyler performing at Howard Stern's birthday, which I think was like at Radio City Music Hall.
Okay.
And Train is the backing band. And we're not going to hear him, but eventually Slash comes out and plays lead on this. But let's listen to a little bit of Steven here.
Nice.
That's him playing the keyboards, by the way. Yeah, well, piano. He's got a big white grand piano up there.
What an amazing vocalist. I mean, really, really one of rock's greatest vocalists ever, man. I mean, such control.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's such a cool swagger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, God.
Yeah, and he's always doing something that surprises you.
Yeah.
Yeah, even...
It's not boring. Yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy after all the songs, all the times we've heard him sing. Yeah. He's still like, oh, I haven't heard him do that before.
And, like, silly question, but and I know, Keith, you know the answer to this. Greg, have you seen the making of Pump?
No. I've seen, like, little tiny pieces of it along the way, but I don't think I've ever seen the whole thing.
I mean, I don't know what you get from it, Keith, but when I watch that, you really see the mind of Steven Tyler and the ability of Steven Tyler like coming to light. You see, when he's trying to get the rest of the band to understand what he's going for with Janie's Got a Gun.
Yeah.
You know, because none of the rest of the band seems to, like, give a
latch
shit.
Latch on to it.
But he's like, no, we got to do this. And he's got, like, his brand new Yamaha DX5 keyboard. And he's like, check out this patch. Oh, yeah. But he's able to, like, scat and, like, vocalize all of the instrument parts.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, and you come in with a big you know, he's just able to do it and like on pitch and like,
you know, like showing up and they're like, I don't know, man, this sucks, you know.
Well, it's interesting because it seems like the rest of the guys were definitely more down to just be a, you know, swampy
a blues band,
bar soaked, beer soaked, you know, band, and he was trying to bring the drama.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And you know, when you try to bring the drama, usually there's drama involved.
Yeah, for sure. <You know? laughs>
So it's cool. You know, I mean, in the end, it worked out great for all of them. I bet they're not complaining now.
No. I think they're right. They're cashing their royalty checks. Yeah, no chance.
And he's got a gun. Still gets played a lot.
Oof. All of them do.
All of them exactly. And it, you know. So it's kind of hard to hear him. I mean, you know, again, that clip was 10 years old, but you subtract COVID. That's sort of like, this is like sort of the last chapter of him. You can sort of hear the, but he still has it, and it's still cool to hear.
So there's, you know, kind of one thing that has really stood out to me is, so we're getting older, right? Like,
don't remind me.
So we're getting older, and these bands that have been the soundscape to your life or chapters of your life are, you know, somebody's passing away, they're retiring from touring, they're not making music anymore, they have, you know, vocal injuries. I mean, Jon Bon Jovi is going through the same thing.
Right.
There's a documentary on Hulu about how he's, you know, losing his voice, and, you know, the band is kind of a shell of what it once was, and, you know, all these things that are soundscapes to your life are kind of slowly disappearing and kind of going away, and you kind of look at it and you're like, man, that's really sad, because that's an ultimate chapter that defined who I am as a person, and it's closing, you know, and there's not that many things that are coming in that are taking the place. There's no new Aerosmith. Like, there's never going to be another Aerosmith that comes in and fills that void, right? Like, music isn't made like that anymore.
Well, and we're not at this... But see, we've talked about this a lot, and I think it's just the time and place where you are in your life that makes that music mean so much to you, you know?
Sure, and we were so lucky to have that, you know? Sure,
absolutely. Yeah.
Indeed.
I know what you mean. Well,
not
okay.
To bum us out.
No, it's all good.
Womp womp.
Let's go back to that. Let's go back to Get a Grip for just a second.
Okay.
Because I think we all picked a song off of Get a Grip to play, and we haven't played any of them.
Okay.
So, what was the trilogy again? It's Crazy, Crying, and.
Crying, Crazy, Amazing.
Yeah.
And Amazing. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
So, which
That's
is the best?
Sequence.
We'll vote. And which is the best of those three? Which should we play?
Well, we all each brought one. Is that what the deal is?
Well, it's possible that one of us picked the same one as somebody else.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you just tell us what that is, and then we'll just play that one.
Yeah, no more games, John.
Yeah.
Fine. You saw through my ruse. All right. Well, the real reason was I couldn't quite remember who gave me which one. my pick is Crying. All day long.
I also picked Crying, but we don't have to.
You
play
picked
that.
Crying, Greg. Greg, picked Crying, and
I picked Crazy. But you know what?
It's kind of the
Let's
same
do
song.
Crying.
Yeah.
It is not the same.
I'm kidding.
Song.
Okay.
Just picture Alicia in your mind. Just go back to that place.
I always do.
That happy place.
Yeah, I always do. We'll be right back.
wasn't much of a friend of mine. The tables have turned.
You hear the melodica or the mellotron in the background?
Was the killing kind. So listen, all I want is someone I can't resist. I know all I need to know by the way that I got kissed. I was crying when I met you. Now I'm trying to forget you. Love is sweet, misery.
Although I should point out, do you guys want to guess how old Alicia Silverstone was when that was filmed?
Oh boy, no!
you guys have daughters.
She's 20 years old.
You guys have daughters. I have a son, but I don't have a daughter. She was 16 years old.
Oh, when they filmed that.
Well. Yeah. Anyway. I mean, we were 12, so.
I watched that video again today, and Stephen Dorff is one of the actors. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's, I haven't seen him in a bunch of stuff, but he's a good actor. He's still.
He was a boyfriend, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, no, it's. And if you ever seen the show Lost, Josh Holloway then is also shows up. He's the guy who plays Sawyer from Lost. Sawyer.
now we did not play. Now, as though I think we've mentioned this a couple of times, but Keith and I are working on a album of cover songs.
Okay. Right? Okay.
And we've been working on this for like 2 years now. We're gonna get it done. we're nearing the finish line here.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
But how can I put this? So once every couple of months, Keith will say, "Okay, we got to get ready. We got to get back together. All right, let's pick some songs." And I'll try to pick some like obscure Stone song or something like achievable. And he'll always throw out, "All right, here's 5 Van Halen songs, and here's like 3 of the toughest Aerosmith songs that you could ever think of." But somehow he convinced me to take on Crying, that song, Crying.
Oh, perfect.
And about the only easy part of that song was the bass part, honestly. Everything else was...
There was a lot going on. That
it's
was
so much
one.
Going on in that song. Yeah. And we had to drop
really
the whole step
because really
I can't get anywhere close to that vocal with the kind of power and the kind of emotion. I mean, it's just like it's a losing game, you know.
Yeah.
There's no
tough.
Way.
But yeah.
I think we got there. We got there.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to hear that. But I one more Crying story for me was that I actually went to the mall and got the cassette single. That's like a level
of the cassette single.
Cassette.
I think I had that single. Too. What was the B-side? Was it Line Up? Or Gotta Love It? It was one of those.
I'm literally on the Wikipedia right now. Walk On Down.
Oh, walk yes. Joe down. Perry sings. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's a skip. That's a skip for me.
If you shit out of luck in the woods.
Wait, where's Randy? Nah, what does Randy good. Think of Joe Perry singing on the Aerosmith songs? Randy, you there?
It's good and it's not good. This is not good.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was
Hesh from The Sopranos.
Randy Jackson at all.
Okay, that's also,
good.
Also valid.
Sorry about that.
Also valid.
It's valid, but let's get Randy's take on it.
Really just okay.
Okay.
Keep it real, keep it real.
He's keeping it real. Yeah, he's keeping it real.
He's got to keep it real.
Yeah. Well,
so I'll throw in one little Crying antidote. So as a 13-year-old kid full of angst, and this video comes on MTV, right? And, you know, I'm kind of a little bit familiar with them because, I've kind of really gotten into Living on the Edge. Eat the Rich was cool, you know, and you're starting to see Aerosmith around a little bit. So the beginning of that video, he's in, like, they're in this, like, brick windowsill, just Stephen and Joe. And Stephen's like, you know, this, kind of crying, you know, and there was a time, you know, and he's got this cool hair pulled forward, and he's got, like, a shirt, you know, cut cool, it says like "not" or something, you know, like a catchy 90s term on it. Here's not. Joe Perry over here in the corner with this gold top Les Paul, and he's in like a 1950s gangster suit with his hair tied back or whatever, you know? And so, you know, all of a sudden, when he's like, now listen, and he spits, like, just hawks a loogie, yes. You know? And it's like, you know, yeah. And all of a sudden, he becomes like this, you know, kind of like tough, angry guy or whatever, you know? It's just so good.
Yeah,
it's ingenious.
It's the original Hawk Tour.
Yeah, that's a little different. It's a little different. They did some crazy stuff, but that's a little different.
Yeah, yeah, true.
I was watching that video today, and I noticed that for the first time. I had never seen that before, but I had the same reaction. I'm like,
help.
Yeah.
And it's the toxic twins, you know. Here's Joe in this 1950s gangster suit, and he never looks at you or looks at the camera. You know, he's so mysterious and cool.
Well, you know, one thing that jumping back to that clip I played you, the SNL, how my dad was still up, you know, we watched it, and my mom somehow was still up as well, and he turned to her, and when they started playing, he's like, hey, these guys are this is what the pros can do. They can just like jam and just sound good and
go. Yeah.
And so, and but that planted a seed in my head. I was like, oh, my dad's looking like, you know, his generation looks at these guys and there's a respect for their job.
Yeah.
You know, and which surprised me, because if he had seen Pearl Jam, he'd been like, oh, these guys are, you know, like,
yeah, these dopes, like they're looking at the floor and like not.
Can't they buy a bottle of shampoo with all that money? You know.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, it's a but with Aerosmith, it's commanded a certain level of like, whoa. Like respect.
Yeah, these guys are good. Like, you know, it might not be my thing, but these guys are good at the craft.
My dad never listened to Aerosmith, but he could tell right away, like, oh wow, look at these guys do their thing. You
know? They're the real deal.
So we played all my clips. What else we got?
The only other thing that I really had, because I think we've touched on all the things that we wanted to talk about.
At least all the things we know about. Except for maybe Keith. I feel like Keith might have a little bit more.
I could deep dive if we had to.
Well, we're not going to go on forever, but it is a. What do
you guys? I just want to touch on this just for a second. So, do you guys remember around the same time, Get a Grip era? You know, you go into your local arcade, and you see the Aerosmith arcade game.
Oh my god! I haven't thought Revolution about that in a long time.
Oh, that's wrong. Oh, my God. Yes.
Revolution X. Yes. Come on, man.
Oh, no. Yes. I remember now. I haven't thought about it in a long time.
The music is the weapon. Come on.
I used to love that video game, man. And it came out for Super Nintendo. I had that. It was my favorite. Because the music, it was all Aerosmith tracks, like in the video game.
Yeah.
And they had these, like, you know, crappy, like, they got the voice synthesis version of all these guys.
And
like like early 90s digitized versions of all the Aerosmith guys, like,
yeah, and Steven Tyler's in like a red jumpsuit kind of you know, with like a black woman's haircut, like,
there's,
you know,
like there's babes around.
I
spent my evening, because that was like so formative to me, I just spent my evening getting sound clips from that video game.
Yes.
Remember, music is the weapon.
Oh. Amazing.
And like, that's like one of the, like, in between the stages, you get a little inspirational message. But while you're shooting all these guys that are coming at you on the screen, Steven Tyler would also encourage you there. Like, if you pick up a power up, it might sound something like this.
Hey, baby, kablam!
Kablam!
Or if you picked up armor.
Now you got protection!
And Steven Tyler did a pretty good job of, like, the little, you know, inner scene things. He could be an actor, sure. But it's the other guys really kind of take the cake. This is Eddie Kramer, I believe.
Joey Kramer.
Oh, no, not Eddie Kramer. He's the...
He's a producer.
He's the producer.
Yeah.
No, this was Tom Hamilton. I'm sorry.
Oh, even better.
Stop the New Order bus.
Stop the New Order bus. And then Joe Perry got in the action. This is one of my favorites.
These guys are maggots. They're putting chemicals in all our food.
Sweet emotion.
Wow. So I just want to take a trip down memory lane, and I think this one might have to become a recurring sound effect.
Hey, baby, kablam!
That's pretty good.
I love it.
Man, that's deep. That's a deep. That's a sick reference, yo.
Revolution X, man.
I have not thought about that in a long, long time.
You know it. You know it. All right. Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Keith, thank you so much for hanging out with
thank
us
you for having this, me. Love talking to Aerosmith.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. Before we go, we got to have our AI friend Suno make us the outro credits. And Keith, it's up to you to come up with the genre here.
Classic rock.
Classic rock.
Okay.
What could possibly go wrong?
Wow, kablam!
You got it! Kablam!
These maggots right, are putting chemicals in our food.
These maggots are putting chemicals in our foods.
These guys are maggots. They're putting chemicals in our food.
Stop the New Order bus!
Great bit. All right, Suno is thinking, All right, here we go. Classic rock version of the outro credits coming at you. You can find us online at you should check it out.com. Send us an email at your scidiopodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You can find us on social media at Facebook and Instagram. Oh, okay, I'm going to stop that there. We're going to go on to the second version, see if this gives... This has been happening a lot lately, Keith.
That had, like, the bang-a-gong feel to it. Did you hear that? Kind of that open E.
You're giving it way too much credit here, but I think you might be right. All right, here's the other version. This one's going to be better. Nah, it's just a pop-punk thing. Send us an email at YSCIOPod. Well, you win some and you lose some, I guess.
Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug.
Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. Kablam! Yes, I
will! Hey, baby, kablam!
Love it.
All right, well, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Nick, for...
for not being here.
For not being here. Thank you. Nick, we missed you. Thanks for sending in your audio diary. That's what I meant to say. Appreciate it. Kresh, hope you guys are having fun out there. Greg,
hey,
thanks for being here.
Heck yeah.
Keith Grasso, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we'll see you back here next week. Peace.